Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Human Nervous System Podcast with Roberta Grant. It's 10:18 this evening, and right now I'm in Rosslyn, B.C. I'll explain that in a second. This podcast is based in White Salmon, but right now I'm on a road ski trip in Rosslyn, B.C., and decided that I would do a podcast for this week on The Animal Realm and Awakening from the Daydream by David Nickturn. So it's one of the realms. There's six realms, and I'm covering all of them in using different circumstances in my life as examples. So the first one's God Realm. Second one is the Jealous God Realm. The third is the Human Realm. And this one is the Animal Realm. And two more are the Hungry Ghost Realm and the Hell Realm. And so I'll just talk about the animal realm in a second. Right now, I'm just going to talk about something that has to do with me being up here in British Columbia, Canada. So I'm 40, gosh, how old am I? I don't remember, 47. And I'm a mother, and I have a 14-year-old son named Django, and his dad's name is Cabe. And so I feel I'm at this point in my life where my son is getting older and my family energy is shifting a bit. In a few years, he will be in college, empty nest. And I know people think I'm crazy and it's really early to be preparing, but I do feel it's important for me to prepare for that. And one thing I recognized is I finally admitted I was in a grieving process. And it took me a long time between all my hormonal perimenopausal things once a month and dramatics around that, super fun times. I'm learning to accept that I'm grieving motherhood and I'm entering the crone phase, which is totally fine and acceptable. Crone meaning my uterus drying up and no longer being of use to me, except just giving me a headache and annoying moody shit every month, and terrorizing my family. But besides that, I'm thankful for it, for the motherhood phase, and that's on its way out. But it has been taking me a long time to settle in that this is grief. And I don't do very well with those kind of emotions. You would think I would, because I do therapy for a living, but I don't. So I've been very stoic about it, and then now I'm embracing it. So in my grief, I feel that it's necessary for me to face it head on. And mind you, grief doesn't have to be sad all the time. And one of the reasons why I also realized I was grieving is a friend of mine pointed this out, that anytime you're moving from one big stage of life to another where the pattern is shifting, there's a grieving process. Duh. So I should have known that. So anyway, finally embracing it. And in that process, I've decided to take this week. It is February 4th, to Canada, 4th through the 8th, to ski at Red Mountain Ski Resort by myself. And leave the boy with his grandparents, because his dad is on a man trip, a boys trip that they do every year, with his friends, and I always feel left out, and blah, 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 but I'm learning to stop doing that, and deal with my abandonment issues, and so I made a trip for myself, and I paid for it myself, and it's very nice. Right now I'm in a super cozy Airbnb cabin with, some interesting beautiful stained glass work. Can't say the walls are pretty thin and stuff look like it's gonna break if I set anything on top of it, but it is cute and it's affordable to stay here. And I love Canada and I love BC and I love Canadians, so love being up here. Anyway, decided to take this trip for myself. Snow's not gonna be great this week. It's okay. I'm just gonna enjoy it for what it is and be creative. So this is my grief trip. You can say that maybe you can have a good time grieving, right? It doesn't always have to be fucking sad. So I'm going to embrace whatever comes my way. It took me 8 hours to get here. Left at 1, arrived here Sunday night at 8. So, yeah. And so, motherhood to crone phase. Child is taken care of. Husband's gone. All good. On my own. And this is acceptance of my grieving process of motherhood into crone. And it's going to take a couple years. Doesn't have to be overnight. But with that, I spent the drive trying to shed some of my ideas of who I think I am that limit me in going into this next phase. And I kind of know what I want in this next phase, but I feel that this is a process of letting go of who I thought I was and who I was into my future self. But learning to face who I actually am is the reality. Because now I'm going to go into the animal realm details in just a second with this in mind. I'm learning to take this grieving process to reframe my reality and just face who I am, which sometimes I don't want to go into details about that, but there are things I feel that can hold me back or anyone back when they're moving from one phase to another in their life, whatever that is. And things, someone who you thought you were, or things that you thought were important to you or no longer, or ideas that you thought were important to you but no longer, just kind of like cleaning out the clutter in the brain, you know, and in the heart, and just seeing what's left and being grateful and blessed with what's left and not getting cluttered with the things that don't matter. So, like, before this trip, what really mattered, what didn't matter, was that I had a couple run-ins with my son yelling, and my son hurt my feelings, and my husband kind of was being a dick, and blah, blah, blah. I don't need to hang on to that. That was a very small, two small moments, and 2 days before this trip, we went on a mini ski trip ourselves to Anthony Lakes. Spent a day skiing and then spent another day backcountry with them. And it was lovely. And it was very nice of my husband, Cabe, to actually put the effort into making a trip before his and before this one. So we could do something as a family. And that was nice. And I feel very blessed and grateful for that. So, going back to, and yes, I do have a job. It might seem like I ski all the time, but I set aside my clients for next week. So I got 4 days off. Anyway, shedding the crap I don't need. So now I'm going to read about the animal realm. Which, traditionally, the animal realm refers to animals. This is in David Nick Turn's book, Awakening from the Daydream. Traditionally, animal realm refers to animals both wild and in close relationship to our human world, ranging from ants, blah, blah, blah. They're intuitive creatures that live simply in harmony with nature, but imagine spending your whole day trying to catch food and trying to not become food. And you might quickly change your mind. The main quality of the animal realm is ignorance. In it, we are focused on tried and true paths towards pleasure and away from pain. We developed myriad sticky habits, repeating whatever has brought us comfort and avoiding any situations that are uncertain and threatening to our established patterns. In the traditional imagery, we act like pigs with blinders, following deeply ingrained patterns of behavior in a rigid and predictable way, eating our way through whatever is right in front of us. Life in the animal realm is mindless, relying on habit to bring us pleasure and keep us from pain. Okay, the mindset. In the animal realm mindset, all the analysis we experience in the human realm is dumbed down in order to create an illusion of safe and predictable world. Our mentality becomes deliberate and plodding, like an inchworm, quite dull with respect to making any changes to routines. In the animal realm mindset, we enshrine our routines as a saving grace. Much of our passion and inquisitiveness is stifled to increase our comfort level. So I'm going to comment personally on routines. I did a podcast about routines and how they help. And yes, they do bring consistency. If you're in a traumatic, chaotic state, routines are great. And I have a podcast about them. But in this case, the animal realm, it says we enshrine our routines as saving grace, and our creativity, passion, inquisitiveness is stifled to increase our comfort level. So in order to be comfortable, people don't want to change their routines. They don't want to change. And I've been in my routine of wanting to be mom, wanting to take care of Django, wanting to do this and that for him, and looking after him. And, you know, I do feel I'm pretty reasonable. I'm sure, let's say, maybe for any mother out there or parent, you know, and you're hanging on to your child's gears a little too much, that clinging is not allowing them to grow. That's hanging on to routines in the animal realm. Or if you're not paying attention to their needs and you're ignoring them, that's also ignoring routines. That's also ignoring your child's needs and what they need. So you can say that's all ignorance. Often people live in an ignorant state anyway. In life, I think sometimes when we're stressed, when we have trouble, if there's struggle in life. So the problem, it says, the main obstacle we face in the animal realm is the absence of curiosity or discernment. Our patterns are so thick and well-established, this is David Nickern's book, that we rarely question who we are, what we're doing, or what else might be possible. The questioning mind is key to cultivating a sense of inquiry and growth, but in the animal realm, comfort trumps investigation. We're stuck in a fog of habitual patterns. Okay, so I would say that me falling into the nostalgia moments and not allowing myself to really grieve and face my feelings and just keep falling into, oh, Django's getting older, or I'm going to be alone, or falling into my fear of abandonment issues that have to do with my family changing, cause codependency, you know, those are my stories, but for whatever, just falling into the routines of the negative thought patterns that hold me back from actually opening my mind to, wait, maybe if you actually effectively grieved these things, Roberta, you would see the other side. Things would move through and you'd see more clearly that this is actually a beneficial situation for everyone and it's part of the process. And grieving is not a bad thing, and it shouldn't be something you're afraid of. But we cling because we don't want discomfort, right? I didn't want discomfort. I didn't want to admit that things are changing. Things are changing in my relationship with my husband. Things are changing in me. Things are changing in my child. So, time to let it go. So, this is the opportunity in the book. In the animal realm, we have the opportunity to really get in touch with our earthly aspects of our existence. We are grounded in the practical realities of our physical being. Every day we eat, sleep, create stability, survive. On one hand, this creates a dense thicket of ritual behavior, but it can also tune us into the practicalities and basic urges of our daily lives. There's complacency in the animal realm. If we can muster... Let's see. Although we experience a torpor of complacency, the animal realm keeps our sense of inquiry in check. It's kind of wisdom in dealing with the basics, the concrete, non-theoretical aspect of our existence. We need to pay attention to the practical aspects of our lives. We need to secure food, water, shelter, protect our families. How would we do that without these capabilities developed in the animal realm? They can be a sense of power and strength in dealing with everyday life. If we muster some discriminating awareness and inquiry into our sense of self, we can elevate our thought process and move ourselves closer towards the human realm mindset, which the human realm mindset is above the animal realm mindset. And this allows us to experience and know our strong protective base, thereby to destabilize our powerful embedded habitual routines just enough to allow for new exploration and growth to happen. So here's and it says the practice. Insight meditation is the practice for the animal realm to cultivate panoramic awareness to develop the ability to see our minds and experiences unfold with impartiality and precision. To achieve this goal, we must cultivate what is sometimes called the witness or impartial watcher. We examine our experience as it arises with an open, unbiased awareness, boycotting knee-jerk reactivity, judgment, and bias. It's a logical extension of the mindfulness meditation. Okay. Well, let's read through it. Begin by taking a good, strong seat, cross-legged, on a cushion, or sitting upright in a chair. Draw your attention to the breath flowing in and out of your body. As with mindfulness meditation, you can place your attention on the breath at the tip of the nose and on the feeling of the stomach rising and falling, or just feel the entire flow of breath in and out of your body. Again, when you notice that you are thinking about something else, anything else, simply label the thoughts thinking and bring your attention back to the breath. Label your thoughts thinking. Bring your attention back to the breath. When practicing insight meditation, do not simply drop thoughts and physical sensations that arise. Instead, take note of them with a light touch of awareness and actually feel the texture of those experiences. Observe your thoughts, emotions, and sensations, and attempt to see them clearly as they are in the moment. If you feel hungry, explore the feeling further. What does it feel like? Where does it actually occur? Is there a feeling in your belly, in your throat, in your mind, maybe? If emotions arise, take note of them. Anger, jealousy, pride, resentment, and simply feel their impact on your body and mind. Actually pay attention, without too much analysis, to the experiences that arise when you're meditating. At the same time, keep a bare thread of attention on your breath to ground the exercise. End the session by returning your awareness to the breath and settling into the moment again. So that is from David Nickturn's book, Awakening from the Daydream, Reimagining the Buddha's Will of Life. So that is to get us out of the animal realm of ignorance and into the human realm of awareness. I would say that I spent some of the drive trying to do that and watched my thoughts go by, and yeah, I'm by myself now, and that's different. I've had road trips by myself before, but this one is very intentional and has the strong intentions of trying to just settle into myself. And after this, I don't want to be bothered by things that I don't want to be, that made me rut in the animal realm and limit me, and thoughts and ideas and behaviors that kept me from being my full self. Because if you can't grieve in life or accept, I don't know, just learning to accept things, right? And luckily, this is a positive one. You know, there's other things that are not so easy, like aging. So I'm lucky enough to be able to go skiing and be healthy. So thankful for that. And let's see, what else have I got? So, I'm probably just obsessed with myself and talk to my phone because I'm trying to use my own personal life as a backdrop and tapestry for these ideas, such as the Buddhist realms. The interesting thing about them is They're psychological states I feel that people do drift in and out of. And my sense is that usually a lot of people live in one of the realms more than the others, and they kind of drift in the bottom and top one above them. So we probably live in, a lot of times, two different realms, but you can go between all of them too. So it's a deep concept, the Dharma wheel. I'm not a Buddhist, so I'm not gonna go into Buddhist scripture and things like that. I'm not versed in those things, but I do feel I'm versed in the world of human psychology when I'm in my job and listening to people. And these things come to mind a lot. When I read them, they make sense to me. And so instead of using like a client, trying to use myself, I could try to think of someone who suffered more than me or some more interesting story, because I seem to, I don't know. It's not like my life is anything unusual. Anyway, I'm happy to be here and stoked to allow my grieving process to move forward and be here at Red Mountain enjoying myself. So, over and out, Sunday night. This is weekly podcast. Thanks. Bye. Howdy, folks. It's Roberta Grant at the Human Nervous System. And it is February 5th, I think. My second day in Rossland. My Rossland BC retreat. Ski retreat. Yeah. So I pretty much, my last podcast was about yesterday. Skiing up there. Conditions were okay yesterday. Today they were mostly amazing. Super deep, heavy powder. A telemark skier. I seem to be the only one out here. I'm taking so much time to get down the hill. Feeling super ashamed, but having a great effing time. And man, there's some good terrain here. I feel like I finally, towards the middle of the day, figured out where I was going around Red Mountain. So yeah, I found some nice stashes, and I'm hoping tomorrow will be good. Just wanted to bring up some interesting things that came to my mind today. And I keep wondering why I'm doing these podcasts and talking about myself. Am I a narcissist? I don't know. But my hope is that at least it is some sort of a self-help or mental health advice stuff. So maybe people can learn from it. Because I do therapy for a living, so I don't know. People seem to listen to me, but maybe not. Anyway, it's fun. So going back to the animal realm of ignorance and breaking routines, and I've definitely now in the middle of breaking my routine. This is my second day on my ski vacation by myself. So yeah, I've been just trying to do some deep dives into my own consciousness, and when I'm sitting on the ski lift, of course, and deep dives while I'm doing my telly turns effectively when I can. And the snow's that heavy. Yeah, and just really thinking about this skiing from motherhood to crone, and I feel like I've looped back to my 20s at times, and I've felt this before, and this is why the animal realm going into the human realm is important, and insight meditation. And I would say maybe my time on the ski lift and maybe my telly turns are a form of insight meditation for me. I don't know, but puts me in a flow state. I'm by myself. Super nice. Reminding me of my 20s when I went out west on my own. And out west from the East Coast. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. So, and went to school in Boone, North Carolina, Appalachian State. And then continued after I graduated to follow the outdoor recreation industry and do fun stuff out west and never turn back. So, that's another story for another time. But reminding me of my past. And sometimes I think this can happen with people when you're looping back to a time, let's say, going into parenthood is a new experience. Coming out of parenthood is a new experience. But coming out of parenthood into
not having to concentrate on a child is not a new experience in most people's lives. Because there's a certain point when you're not a parent that you're pretty much just thinking about yourself. Then you become a parent and you're like, oh, wow, you know, the process of parenthood and the rite of passage into that is a unique journey and its own story for many people. And going out of that reminds me similar to the selfish stage of my 20s, a little bit self-centered. And I've noticed more and more my thoughts becoming more self-centered. And I don't know if self-centered is judgmental or just because turning my attention inward to myself and who I am as a person and my identity. And, you know, I don't know how many people really put this much thought into things, but I seem to. And so part of the blessing of the insight meditations and going out of the animal realm into the human realm is recognizing these details, these new thoughts, these new ways of being, new patterns. Yeah. So one of those is my creativity. I'm getting into that. Another one is deciding to go on a trip on my own. Yeah. And some other interesting things about aging have popped up. I got in a lift with a couple, an older couple in Canada. Besides, I love Canadians, by the way. They're super friendly, super nice, and very polite. And trying to do my best to match that as an outsider in their culture. And got in a lift with two people. I don't know how old they were, but I do admire the amount of, like, older people skiing here. I'd say older for me is, like, 60s, 70s. I'm 47. So, anyway, got in a lift with them and just chatting with them, and they thought I was in my 20s. I'm 47. I found that to be amusing. I think when you get to a certain age, everybody younger than you just 10, 15 years just looks young, and they all look the same, maybe. So, I don't know. Somebody thought it was in my 20s. That's fucking weird. And then another thing that happened to me, I got on a lift with a snowboarder, lifty guy. I don't even know if he was noticing me or not, but definitely got a vibe off of him, but maybe it's my fucking ego. I don't know. But we were just talking about life, and he's young, and he finished school in Toronto, and then went into the recreational industry to work, and just find his way. Never used his degree, but I told him, you know, this is a great, it's a great way to just open your life up to what life has to offer, and not knowing where your path is going to be. I didn't know what my path was going to be, or where I ended up, so that's interesting. And part of that, I think, is when you, so this guy is super nice, and I said bye, and saw him at the lift again at the bottom. But, yeah, and I just thought, how exciting of a time in your 20s to just, like, work at a place not even knowing where you're going to end up. He said he applied to resorts all over BC. He's from Whitehorse, Yukon, which is cold and dark in the winter, and he wanted more snow, I guess. Anyway, yeah, I just thought about that. My own process in my 20s and not knowing, and I feel like I'm returning back to that time. Now, it's really strange to have that experience. And then in the podcast before, I was talking about grief and sadness and letting go of things. And I think that there's something to be said as I'm learning to let go and facing that, maybe just starting to see the possibilities that are before me and things I can do, like traveling to different ski resorts in BC on days off or whatever. So anyway, yeah, kind of interesting. What else? Yeah, I don't know where the future goes. So I think letting myself be open and to these experiences and trusting that things are gonna work out And yeah, so just like I chose a bunch of runs and followed some tracks into the woods today, I didn't know where I was going, and I found some of the best steep and deep powder on the mountain just by doing that. Didn't even look at a map, didn't know. So I'm going to try to approach my life that way too. And yeah. Okay, I guess that's all I got to say. All right, over and out. Bye.